Across Northeast Dublin, your voice.
But now we have another guest right here with us. We have a wonderful, amazing health. Is Emmanuel Jume-Sone. And he is a professional health information and advocacy officer with CORDA, and is also the chairperson of the health subcommittee for IPAD, which is what we want to discuss with him. We want to talk about his role as the chairperson of the health subcommittee of IDPAD. And you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. First of all, I want you to just take 1 minute to tell us about yourself.
Myself.
Just to give people a juice, because I know this is your field.
Well, thank you. You mentioned there that I worked as a health information and advocacy officer. Yes, I've been doing that with CORDA for the last 13 years. I've lived in Ireland now for, it just caught my attention, I've lived in Ireland now for the last close to 17 years. And within that time, in one capacity or another, I have always worked in the area of health information and advocacy for disadvantaged communities. While working with CORDA in the last 13 years, I supported so many people, a lot of them from the asylum community. And what I noticed was that a lot of people had so many wide a range of needs, and it definitely made me. So when you ask me who am I say I have had the privilege of working with so many people within the African community, and that kind of privilege leaves you with a very big database of the issues that are within our community, as you know, what people have as problems, how you can, you know, navigate most of the services around, and how to direct people to what will be a very whatever service they may be looking for to solve the problem that they are. So I personally you know, inwardly acclimate myself as having quite a lot of information in the area of healthcare and advocacy in Ireland. So you were talking about the HSE services, immigration services, social welfare services, and just general information on what happens in the island of Ireland.
Right. Well, thank you, because you're well qualified to be the chairperson of the health subcommittee. First of all, do you want to just fill us again with the background of how this subcommittee came to be with the IPAD?
All right. So I would imagine that, you know, the previous speakers have mentioned what this whole program is about, the International Decade of the People of African Descent. It's a program which technically is way overdue. It was there's a little history behind it. This program would have taken place. So it came from the Durban Conference, which was held in South Africa. If it's such a long time ago, so most memories would be very vague about it. But it did happen on it happened the day before 9/11. So it was a big conference. Nelson Mandela would have chaired that conference, because he was still very influential within the South African political scene. But he chaired the conference, and one of the things that came out from the conference was that the UN was going to recognize people of African descent, their contribution to global development, and to also support people of African descent wherever they may be in any country around the world. So it's almost an international program which is being funded by the UN, or encouraged by the UN, for host countries to support members of the African community to address certain issues that are affecting them. So the theme would have been justice and recognition. So justice and recognition tends to cover quite a large range of issues. And one of them is health, employment, young people, youth, culture, and there's quite a lot of stuff. I don't want to go back through what the previous speakers have talked about. But this, the area which I am really interested in, or which I was calling to take part in, is the area of healthcare. So health and well-being for people of African descent. It's a very broad area. It's a massive, massive, massive area, because I know health is wealth. So health ties to everything that, every community, or to be functional in any community, you would necessarily, be at the top of your health situation. So I'm a chair of this health program to try and look at how we can improve the knowledge about the health services of Africa, or what information there does exist within the African community, how we can pick up all that information, put them in a format that people can really be able to access it. Because information creation, information development, information provision is a big part of my work in the last 13 years at Koja, and I think it's something that the African community definitely needs to benefit from.
Thank you. So now, Ivel is going to ask you, what is the main objective of the health subcommittee? What would you say was the main objective of the health subcommittee? Before we go into your work and the goals, what's the main objective?
So the main objective of the health subcommittee is to try and gather data regarding health for African in Ireland. Okay, it's a very broad area, because, as I mentioned, health is a really, really important area in people's lives, and it's from the definition which we are trying to use to define health is the UN human rights based approach. That is means that health is not just being physically unwell. Health is also your state of mind, your social situation. So if you have a housing problem, it may not look like a health issue, but definitely in the long run, it might become a health. So the main objective of us was to try and find a way where we can gather all the information on all the different sub areas where Africans have been affected, and then put that information into a format which tends to really be the data that different organizations, particularly the HSC, could actually benefit from that kind of information to try and use it in how they can address health issues that affect people from African descent. They're very broad issues here. So if we can actually get all that information put in one format, that we can actually say, if someone asks and said, where can I get this information? I say, go and open that page and you'll be able to see. And from there, you can tell every different sector. So the objective is to collate all the health data that we can actually find within the African community and make it available for everyone.
Right. Now, that seems to me a really strange, in the sense that, are you saying that there is no collective statistics about the health issues that affects Africans in Ireland? Because we're talking about Ireland here. Is that why we need to get this information?
Well, it would be misleading to say that there do not exist such kind of information. Right. Information tends to have different level of importance, and it depends on how the information was collected and the intention that was behind who collected the information. There are, in the past, there have been so many issues about intercultural health. The HSC has two intercultural health strategies at the moment. The first one, I think, was 2009 to 2012, and the last one was launched in 2019. These programs tend to have a broad array of way of looking at African health issues. They don't take out specifics. And sometimes you need specifics to be able to understand the problem better. If you're just looking at it as a generic problem, say everybody needs to get a GP. Everybody is entitled to a GP. But you may have issues where there are Africans living in certain areas where they cannot get GP because the GP may have some inherent unconscious bias, or people struggling to access their GPs because there is a difficulty in communication between themselves and the GP. But when you look at the way that the problem has been addressed, every person has access to a GP. But you may have specific people who are having difficulties having access to this, right? So that kind of information may not be available, because when they look at people who have access to GP, you will see that every person has access to GP. So the ratio that happens within different communities does not really pick out the fact that a specific group may have such a difficulty. So we are thinking that by actually picking out all those specifics in that does exist within different types of data, health data for African migrants in the community, we can actually highlight an important issue that could also help for the planning for people of African descent in the future.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds very positive. So you're going to employ a researcher to look specifically at these things that affects the African community in Ireland, and obviously these will also be the children of their descendants as well that are actually living in here. Are there any target areas that you think definitely we need to bring this out that needs to be investigated as a chair?
Okay, health itself is a very private a piece of information, and there's quite a lot of taboos as well surrounding health and sharing of health information. You know, a lot of people would not publicly talk about a chronic health issue just for fear of how that may be interpreted within whoever is listening. But such an information is really, really important in planning. If you can't plan and you don't know how many people are likely to get off suffer a heart attack or a chronic illness issue like say prostate cancer or breast cancer, if you don't have data of people who may likely be victims of that, it's very difficult to see how you can project the future. And people may hold back this sort of information because of fear, you know. So the question that we are also having is how do we access this data? We need to really change the mindset of our community to try and get people to see the importance of having such information, because it's so vital. I work in the area for, you know, for the last 13 years, and I know that participation is the only way you can be represented in any situation, is to participate. And one way of the reason why we have to make this there, you know, to try and get this data, is a form of participation. Because by doing that, there have been so many times that different government communities have complained that, oh, we're looking for data about Africans. We just don't get the data. Or when we see data, it's not very comprehensive. Or maybe it's just touching about one particular area. Or someone wrote a report and then they just dedicated one chapter. You know, the very first intercultural health strategy had just less than 200 words regarding African healthcare. But this is a government program, right? And I don't want to jump to the conclusion that people did this deliberately. You know, I mentioned already that representation is participation. You cannot be represented if you are not taking part. And that is where we really want to try and use this form of projects now to create an awareness within the community that we must be part of what is going on if we really want to be here. You know, we can't be here and not be and be absent. That is such a very philosophical way of looking at it. But I hope the message people can see why the objectives and all, you know, the bigger images to behind this. The different areas that tend to affect Africans, that complex. Some of them are very, very complex, because most people came here 20, 30 years ago. They were in their, mid-30s, late 20s. Their health issues, their health needs were different. Fast forward 20, 30 years now, they're getting breast cancers, they're getting, prostate cancers, they're getting heart problems, they're getting menopausal problems, some are even suffering from dementia, But all these things are very complex health issues, and they can be very, very private. So people find it very difficult to share this sort of information. With a project like this, it could be an opportunity for us to try and get the communities to come out and see this other side of their presence here, which, as I said, would be really, really beneficiary to the entire community if we can actually take part in this way.
Right. I mean, that is spectacular. One thing that you said that really just got me now is that it's true. You haven't remained the same age, and the problems are actually different. There is cancer, there is menopause, it's all these things that are now affecting Africans that are living in Ireland, yet we don't have the statistics for it. So I think as a chair, this is probably the first thing we need to consider. Now, I've said about the objective, you told us what it is. What about the goal? What about the goal and the work you're currently doing in the subcommittee right now?
Well, the goal as a subcommittee first was to create a map. So what we are at aiming to get at, or, you know, to get out of this data is to be able to create this map. When we have the map, then it's going to really define the kind of work that we need to do. I have my own my own imagination of what the healthcare system would be. Yeah, I mean, I've worked for the last 18 years, and in that time I noticed that I must have helped over 30,000 people. You know, that's such a big representation of our community. So it means that I could have seen areas that cannot be very obvious, you know, very obvious. So I can't, again, I can't just presume that because I know that is what it is. You know, we are using a couple of researchers who will be working with communities, and maybe part of a program like this is also to try and create a form of awareness on how people, why people should know about this program. And then these researchers will gather all the information, then we decide the style and how we want to write it. We want to write the report in a way that any person can read it. So it's going to be more of a self-explanatory report. Rather than using loads of words, we'll probably use a lot of symbols and, you know, imagery. So you don't necessarily have to be a medical or medical inclined mind to be able to read it, understand it. You can simply look at symbols and probably create an imagination of what would be within this data. And then from this data, we'll be able to look at running campaigns within the communities. You know, I mentioned there that people have grown, people at age, and because time has passed, their health needs have changed. You know, so if you didn't have this problem 10 years ago, maybe you should start considering this problem. We are from that kind of community. I've already mentioned that health is a very private thing, and so people tend to have a lot of taboos talking about health issues. But taboos never help anyone. You know, you can bury your head in the sand if you like, but if the storm is coming, it's still going to take you away. So by knowing what the future holds, we can decide what kind of insurance policies we can actually take today. You know, so programs like this, I see them as insurance policies. They are actually going to help us through this data collection process. We will be able to create different areas of support that we can actually bring within the community, information sharing, run workshops, create awareness, and also from data like this, we can actually be able to partner with government organizations like the HSE, who is principally concerned about providing health services to African communities. So if we actually get what I think we will get from this, it will be a big signboard of, you know, what are the certain issues that can be looked at within the African community. And the chances are really endless.
Right. Now, I'm taking it, thank you for that explanation, I'm taking it that the HSC and those in the health service in Ireland, they do want to, you've said, they want to help the African. What are the things that may be a limitation to getting the kind of statistics you need or research you need to put this map on the road?
They're cultural habits that people have.
Do you want to give us some examples?
Well, okay, like I mentioned taboo, right? I mentioned taboo. Taboo is one of the reasons why issues like mental health is such a big problem for the African community in Ireland. You know, even when people contact me and they say, "Oh, I have a family member with so and so issue," you can still tell from their mind, they themselves are still divided into the cause of this issue. People still attribute issues with mental health to be related to witchcraft, you know, and those are cultural issues that tend to suppress the gathering of this kind of data. So for us to really be able to open up and share, we must also change some of our mindset. So that one of the biggest difficulties that has held back is how we perceive creating or sharing kind of certain type of information, and also participation. Participation is a big deal. It's a very, very big deal. It's what affects our community integration. It's what affects our own personal development. It's what affects, you know, a lot of times you meet so many Africans who are third level educated, but they drive taxis. I don't have any problem with people driving taxi. You know, I think it's a convenient life. But you can't go to Trinity and get a master's degree and you're driving taxi next month. You can't really see the continuation of that kind of a project in a person, you know. I know there's a lot of talks about discrimination and, you know, bias and that kind of stuff. But we've had so many examples. You know, we know of our youth how well they are performing. When it comes to GCSE, look, the first five best marks, you will find at least one or two Africans. Sometimes even three, four, even, you know, over 90% of the first best marks are Africans. Those children, we don't talk a lot about them, but most of them end up working in Dell and all Facebook and all those big companies. I mean, they have real good jobs. So sometimes we also go past the bias to be able to see what is on the other side. There's quite a lot of fear. People are worried that if I, you know, they don't give us chances. Chance is also also participation. If you are taking part, someone will recognize your contribution, and at some point, you may be compensated. You cannot go to Trinity, get a master's degree, and end up driving a taxi. It's a form of participation, but it also excludes you from the real thing that you should be aiming at. I positively think that there are a lot of opportunities for us, but what is holding us back, just like we are seeing from trying to get this kind of information, is how people share information and what level of participation they are willing to give. If you want to be here, you must be here. You cannot be here and you're only here because you get up and go to work or you come back and go to church. In the weekend, when the local communities are out playing on the green with the other children, you are at home with your child. And then your child doesn't get integrated in the community. You know? And you feel excluded. You go to the local supermarket, you don't know anyone. Nobody seems to really know you. These are some of the things that we must really try and see and know that whatever difficulties that we maybe encounter at some point, it also has to be a contribution from our part. Because I know that in healthcare, I know that the only way you can get health information move from one point to another is information sharing, especially within the African community. You must talk to people. But when you have a community that finds it difficult to talk, it is very, very difficult to see how you can actually, you know, really exchange that information from back and forth. But we are hopeful that because we better understand these things now, we hope that through programs like this coming to talk to you in the radio, you know, a lot more people will be able to hear some of the challenges that we encounter when we try to run programs like this. And so we may start to behave slightly differently.
That I was going to ask you, so what would be two or three proposals that you have to enable the African community to be more positive towards their own health and the awareness of sharing and gathering information for their own benefit? What would be some of your suggestions that you would like to see happen so that it can be profitable to them? Because they're not having all the statistics and then they're still holding back, you know what I'm saying? What are some of the things that you've learned through your years that we're going to have to do this?
Health is participation. You know, when I say participation, it's a broad word, but it means that you should be doing something. You should be doing something. If you want to stay healthy, then you have to be active. I have 7 Dublin Marathon medals. I didn't run them for the fun of it. I had to do it because I know the benefits I got from running those marathons. You know, I meet most people who are my age mates, especially my white friends. None of them look physically. I mean, it's a marked difference because I am very active physically. I cycle, I run, I'm always active, almost on my feet. I have a car, but you rarely see me drive that car. I'm always walking to where I need to go because that tends to improve your health outcomes. Activities. You can't just sit at home, eat, sleep, and then you slow down. In a couple of years, you will realize there's massive change in your body. So if you want people to have better health outcomes, you must also try to encourage them to be more active. There's a strong link to that. Health, cancers, heart problems, all linked to exercise. You can start to see that more people are exercising. The pandemic, that's one thing that the pandemic left for us. Most people are out now exercising than they did if you go back and check the data just before then. For the Africans, that is the principal one. But that is also part of the, you know, the bigger area of participation. Participation, and also go to your GP, talk to your local, find out if there are local health issues running or groups in your local area. Be a part of them. You know, look up the HSE website. Most people know that it's an HSE website. They have never really had the time, you know, to look through it. From there, you'll learn a lot of stuff because information is power or knowledge is power. What you find out for free definitely tends to improve how you will deal with any particular issue. So people must look for more information. If you have information, share this information with your friends. When we are trying to get data from you through programs like this, you have to participate. Because the end result of a program like this is everyone's benefit. It's not just the people or the researcher who run around and try and get this data. All we usually get is have your name at the bottom of it, but all the benefits and, you know, the accreditation that comes from the process, it is the bigger community. So, for example, when the smoking ban was brought into Ireland, most people did not realize how it was going to change the world. It completely changed the entire world, not just Ireland. So it's a good example I always bring. From that, health, by the next 10 years, life expectancy had gone up 1.5 years. So you can see little things that people do take for granted, they can actually have long-term benefits. And one of them is this, talking to African communities and said, guys, health is wealth. And it's easy because all you need to do is to take part. When you're taking part, you also build your own social connection. And like, you know, another issue which is a big conversation that you can't go through without mentioning is isolation. A lot of people are isolated in this country. A lot of black people are isolated. Even when they're out with white people, they still feel isolated. So there's something there that needs to happen, you know. Integration is two-way. So if you go out and hang out with people and you just don't feel like you have the conversation, you know, to hang out with, you know, to talk to them, you might still be there and not be part of them. But we must also get out of our shells to be able to improve our social connection. Because social connections means good health or good mental health. And good mental health means better performance in the other things. And once you're performing well, you start to see, you know, the backlog of it. So if you're advising people, ask me, I'd say, get active. Run the marathon. Go and climb Kirkpatrick on a Saturday. You know, do some of these things, that popular thing that people do, because they tend to have very, very tested, approved health benefits.
So, do you know what? Good. We've literally come to the end. You've given us, provided us with so much insight, so much information. And I really wish you the best with the health, as the chairperson of the health committee, because I can see that as we're getting the statistics, there's going to be a driving point to get us as Africans to be more inclusive, to participate. I love the word participate in our health, and to get out there. So if you find people, by the way, if you want to run a marathon, you could get hold of of Emmanuel. He has 70's accolade. So listen, how can we get more information about
iDepart? So yeah, there is the iDepart website, iDepart Ireland. We can write to info@iDepart.ie. And this program was initially run by the Department of Justice, but now it's moved to the Department of Integration and Children. So if you also write to check on the Department of Integration website, you probably get some information there. And of course, they can talk to Near FM. I'm sure she'll be more than happy to talk, to give as much information as possible. And most importantly, you know, people must try and find out more information. We'll be talking about this decade thing. It didn't start very well. You know, it was a bit slowed down. Like, I decided to start after 9/11, because when 9/11 happened, everybody forgot about this. Everybody suddenly just forgot about it. You know, 9/11 changed the world. So we're also that unfortunate that happened. This happened the day before 9/11, so it just got, you know, pulverized by the heat of that. So there's quite a lot of information that people can get. You can look up the Durban Declaration to know the genesis of all this information.
Well, listen, I wish you the best, and I no doubt that when we fast forward, we're going to be enjoying great health, running marathon, going here and there, and doing all kind of things. I don't know about climbing the wall, but, you know, there you are. We could do so many things. And
thank you.
I really thank you for coming in today.
Thank
it's been
Mary.
A pleasure.
Thanks.
Having you here. Okay. Thank you very much, Emmanuel. From Cordia, the chairperson of the health subcommittee for IDPAN. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
This is Near FM
90.3.